but I don't really know any details, but I just feel like I need to tell you this because my sister goes, your brother, I have two brothers, and your brother is on fire. I said, what do you mean on fire? Because the brother she's talking about is a good guy, that know the Lord, businessman, very successful, neat guy. But she said, he's on fire. She goes, he rode with me all the way over here from from Portland and over to Prineville, and he's on fire for the Lord. And I said, on fire for the Lord? She goes, yeah, he got saved. So anyways, praise the Lord for that. Yeah. So awesome. Awesome. And I'm going to say one more praise report. This is for me. This did my heart good. I don't know if any of you ever, I've had some skin cancer that I've had taken care of before. I had some surgery on my back, that kind of a thing. Well, I had one taken, a biopsy on my face. I was kind of concerned. I wasn't really into having a big hole in my face. Anyway, it came back clear, so praise the Lord. I was glad about that. So God's moving in a lot of areas, and he's moving in my family, so I just thank him every day. All right, so how many business owners do we have in the house? If you're a business owner, just raise your hand. You're a business owner. Oh, we got quite a few. Yeah, great. How many of you have just led groups of people? You've led, I don't care how big the size, raise your hand. Again, lots of you. How many of you have had children? Because there, you have led groups of people. Yes. Well, no matter how many people you've led, I want everybody in this house to imagine something with me, all right? So I want you to imagine a large corporation. And you are the owner and CEO of this global business. Many thousands of employees are placed all over the world. You have made the perfect working environment. Beautiful buildings, state-of-the-art technology, workout facilities, majestic parks at each business location created just for your employees. You pay them very well above the normal pay grade at any other business. This is the greatest place to work there has ever been. And in addition to that, you've given them the greatest retirement package known to man. They are going to be taken care of for the rest of their lives, and your business is thriving. Then one day, everything goes wrong. Beginning with just a few, the employees begin to turn on you. They are not happy, and they want more. They want to go out on their own and do things their own way. They begin to steal from the company. They cheat others and badmouth your name everywhere. And they are eventually caught by law enforcement and sentenced to prison for all of their criminal deeds. So what do you think you would do to these ungrateful employees that have squandered all you have given to them? Well, if you're like me, I'm going to give you a couple of cliches. You would say you dug your own grave, so you need to pay the piper or pay the man. Okay? But instead, your love and caring for your employees overrides all. You have the decision at your disposal to have the sentences wiped clean and not to press charges. The only thing the employees need to do is to ask your forgiveness, say they're sorry and mean it, be remorseful, and then all is forgiven and their sentences will be wiped clean. They can walk away and be restored to the company, and they can start over. Now that is called grace. It's the greatest act of love that there is. It's saving someone else who did not deserve it, and they couldn't lift a finger to save themselves, a completely selfless act. Now from the book of Genesis, we know that God created man, and he gave man a beautiful world to live in. All we have to do is look around this beautiful place that we live. And he also gave himself to man, that man could have a consistent relationship with the loving God who created them. But man turned against God and went his own way. And God is holy. Sin cannot stand in the face of God's holiness. And darkness cannot stand in the light of God. Man was now sinful. How could there ever be a relationship with God again? Man had sinned, and there was nothing that could seemingly be done. So what did God do? He came into the world that he created, into the lives of those who had rejected him, and not only made a way to save them from death, but to give them new life forever. This was the greatest gift of love that there has ever been, represented by a newborn child laid in a feeding trough for animals, shunned by those that he came to save. And in a symbolic circumstance, even the local inn or hotel, as it were, had no room for him. Holiness, righteousness, goodness, and love came into the world. In the Gospel of John, it says that he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. This is the kind of world that God chose to save. One that didn't even recognize his son when he came to save it. Yet God's grace and love prevailed. 1 John 4:9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. The greatest gift of love that there's ever been was when God the Father sent his son into the world to save mankind from their sin. So what is our response to this incredible gift of love? So let's read the scripture in context. We're going to read from verse 7 to verse 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, we just ask that your word be illumined within us. Lord, that you give us understanding, supernatural understanding, to what seems a simple message, but is the most profound that there could ever be. So, Lord, help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our response to this love is to love God in return, and to then love others. So we receive his love, we love him back, and then he helps us to love somebody else. Well, that sounds great. Sounds fantastic. I am loved, so I'm going to love others. Well, who am I supposed to love? Everybody? How am I supposed to love everybody? Now, think about this for a second. There's some real jerks out there. Let's just be honest. Not everybody is easy to love. And maybe if there's a few people coming to your mind, hopefully it's not me. That wasn't in my notes. So how about people that have hurt you? Maybe people have hurt your family. Maybe they've said something against you or your family or against your friends or done something that has just been so hard. So what did Jesus say about love when he grew up? You know, Jesus didn't just stay in a manger as a little baby. Jesus grew up. Matthew 5, 43 through 48, we're going to find out what Jesus had to say about this. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is throwing it down. Wow. Something to live up to, I would say. He says to be perfect. Well, how in the world are we going to be perfect? And Jesus seems to be talking about perfect love. How can this be? Does he expect me to do this? Well, something happened to me many years ago as a young Christian, and it's a story that I want to share with you today. It forever changed my outlook on life and my outlook on other people and on what perfect love really looks like. I was going through an intense college-level Bible study. It was called Fire Institute. Oh my goodness, we had to read so many books. It was a 12-week course. I can't even tell you how many books we had to read. We had to read the whole New Testament. We had to memorize all of this scripture. I had to pray for 30 minutes a day. It was intense. It pretty much took every moment of my time that I was not working. But it really was fantastic. One of my fellow students was a young man named Yan Bailey. I don't remember exactly how old Yan was. He was in his late teens. I do know that. Now, Yan had a life-threatening form of leukemia. But you would never know it in speaking to him. He was not afraid. He wasn't afraid. He had lost his hair through treatments. And in the middle of his treatments for leukemia, he would be so sick, you know, just terrible sick, and he would still show up for class. He amazed me with his hopeful attitude, his humor, and literally his love for other people. Now, many of you know my story of drugs and alcohol and the road that I was down when I had a band and did all of those crazy, crazy things. And a lot of things that weren't good. And it was a life of sin before I met Christ. And at the time of this class, the only thing I really had going for me, because I was newly saved, I was just probably a couple months out of being saved. The only thing I had going for me was that I loved Jesus. And I knew that he saved me. And, of course, that makes all the difference in your life. But one class was at a friend's house, and we were going to go around and share what challenges that we had and what God was asking from each one of us. And when it came time for my friend Yan to share, he said something that would really change me forever. He had only a few weeks to live, and he knew that this was the prognosis. He knew all about it. He looked at me. And with the sincerest, most angelic look I've never seen, and I'll never forget it, he said this to me in front of all of our classmates. My challenge is this, is that I can study the Bible, memorize scripture, and love God like Roger does. And that was to be the most humbling moment of my life. Didn't Yan know all I had done against God? Didn't he know that his fight for life and his faith in God made any efforts that I made pale in comparison? And God spoke so profoundly to me in that moment, and he said, Roger, this is how much I love you. That while you were still a sinner, I loved you, and I died for you. And Yan went to be with Jesus a short time later. The brief period I knew him had a lasting effect on me, as you can tell. I know that no matter what comes my way, I have a responsibility to love others. I don't always meet the grade. I don't always hit the mark. But I know that that's my responsibility and nobody else's, no matter what happens. So, how do we access this gift of love in a way that's going to help us to love other people? What should we do? So, the source of this gift is who? Jesus, God. Okay? He's the source. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave. Okay? So I'm going to give you three quick points. How do we access this gift? How does Christ coming to the earth, how does that change me today? So number one, very simply, humbly come before God and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Well, you say, I've heard that. I know that. Okay? It starts here, and it's not a one-time action point. And what I mean by that is, when you ask Jesus, you humble yourself and you ask him to come into your life, yes, you mean it. He comes in and you are saved. It's not that you get saved over and over and over again. But it's not a one-time thing in terms of our attitude in life. It's a lifelong attitude. And if you've never done this, I mean, this is how you get to know God in the first place. Okay? You humble yourself. You ask God to forgive you of your sins. You ask him to forgive you of all the things that you've done that are against what his word says. Friends, there was a time when I was not saved. I didn't know God, but I can tell you something. When I was confronted at the age of 21 with my life and what I had done, I knew what sin was. I knew what I had done wrong. We can act like we don't, but we do. We know the things we've done wrong. But that's how your life changes. But it doesn't stop there. This attitude of humility has got to stay with us. Never take for granted the gift of love that we celebrate at Christmas. Never take it for granted. Every day of your life, it's going to make a difference in the people that live around you. It'll make a difference in how you think. It'll make a difference in how you live. Okay? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess. Number two. Commit to knowing him more by praying and reading the Bible. Wow. Are you kidding me? Really? Is that? I've never heard that before. Well, there might be some of you who haven't heard that, but I can guarantee you, if you go to this church at all, you've heard this. Matter of fact, I think I heard Pastor Tim say this last week. You're going to hear this over and over again. And I'm going to say something, not to lay guilt on you. I'm going to say this to challenge you. I am amazed at how many longtime Christians who end up having difficulties in life, and we all have them. When you're asked, well, do you read your Bible like every day? No, that's a real struggle. I hardly ever read the Bible. Well, do you pray sometimes? Like every day? Well, no, I really need to work on that. Man, that's Bible 101. That's where you got to start. Okay. What a concept. So you're not sure how to pray. Well, I'm just going to tell you. Just like I'm talking to you. Talk to God. He's listening. He's listening right now. If you were to stop and talk to him right now, he really would hear you. He hears you. He hears everything I'm saying. He knows it all. And he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to talk to him. And do you know what? If you spend enough time with him, he's going to talk back. Now, I've never heard an audible voice personally. But God has spoken to me. And he speaks deep in my spirit. But it's another message. But I'll just tell you, God wants you to talk to him, okay? Tell him your problems. Pray for other people. Tell him how great he is. You'd be amazed. I remember when I took that class, that Fire Institute class, and I had to pray for a half hour. I mean, I'd never prayed more than 5 minutes, you know, and I thought that was a long time. So I had to learn how to do it. And for me, I kind of had to block it out, you know. So, okay, for 10 minutes, I'm going to praise him. Well, you'd be amazed how quickly that goes by. When you start praising God for all the things that he does, who he is, all he's done for you, all of that, 10 minutes goes by pretty fast, okay? And then you start praying for other people to take another 10 minutes. Just start thinking of anybody and everybody you want to pray for, 10 minutes. You'd be amazed how fast that goes by. And then the last 10 minutes, well, now you get to tell them all your problems. That's going to go by real fast. So it really isn't that hard. That sounds like a long time, but it isn't. But I got to tell you, even if you take 10 minutes and you're not now, it's going to make a difference in your life. Yeah, yeah. And then you're going to realize, wow, why didn't I do this a long time ago? So then you say, well, I want to read the Word of God, but I just don't know where to read. I just kind of pick it up like this and, okay, I'll read this. You know, that doesn't work. You know, I count on one hand. I've been a Christian a long time now. All the times that God spoke to me when I just opened up the Bible and it was right there. That's happened a couple times, but really not usually. We need to read the Bible in context. So you want to read the Bible, and you say, I don't know where to read. I'm going to tell you right now. Write this down. This is going to help you if you don't know where to read. I want you to start with the New Testament. Okay? Just start with the New Testament. There's lots of different ways to read the Bible, but if you do what I'm telling you, it'll work. Yeah, read the New Testament. So start in the book of Matthew. It's about, the New Testament's probably 4/5 of the way through your Bible. It's a lot smaller than the Old Testament. And this is the story of Christ and what happens after he's raised from the dead. And then you're going to find out through the New Testament, we just read through it, you're going to find out how to live and how God wants you to live. Okay? And then you're going to find out how you can make a difference in other people's lives. And then at the same time as that, and I'm saying you don't have to speed read it. Matter of fact, I wouldn't. I wouldn't speed read it. I think when people first start reading the Bible, this is my personal opinion. I just don't think you should do like read the Bible in a year, because you need to think about what you're reading and not just, oh, okay, I got these books done, bam, now I'm going to the next one. I think it's great to read the Bible in a year, but when you're first starting to get out into this, man, you need to think about what you're reading, okay? And you can read a chapter in the Bible, and I mean there are so many things that God wants to speak to you. So I would say read through the New Testament, take your time, and while you're doing that, go to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. It's kind of in the middle. A lot of them are written by David, and they're just great. And a lot of them aren't very long. Some of them are kind of long. Read through Psalms. Take your time. And then read through Proverbs, many of those written by his son Solomon. So, read your Bible. You'll be amazed at what's going to happen in your life if you do it. All of you who have done what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. All right. Good. Good. This is how you're accessing the gift of love that God has given. Okay? Spend time with him. Number 3, determine to do whatever it takes to love people. Who are you supposed to love? Everybody. Everybody. That's what Jesus said. We're supposed to love everybody. So let's start with your own family. Make it simple. Start with your family. Not everybody gets along in a family. My brothers and sisters, I got 5 of them. And we've had our ups and downs over the years, but I made a determination a long time ago I was going to love my family. And we get along pretty well. pretty well these days. They don't all know Jesus, but some of them do. And so start with your family. If you speak kind of harshly sometimes to your family, I want to encourage you, think about that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm going to tell you, that doesn't work. That does not work. Does that work, Teresa? No, that doesn't work. So, you know, here's another thing. If you think something good about somebody in your family, tell them. Say it. If you think your wife looks great, tell her. Tell her. If your son or daughter has done a good job in school or they say something that you notice, wow, I'm sure proud of them that they did that, tell them. Tell them. It's going to make a huge difference. Huge difference. Start with your family. Then go to your friends. You know, it's easy to, like Jesus said, it's easy to love people that love you back. It's easy to love people that like you. I always like to say I like nice people. Well, because it's easy to like nice people. But start there. And then just begin. For those that are difficult for you, start with praying for them. If it's hard for you, pray for them. After a period of time, you'll be amazed at where your heart is. The greatest act of love and God's grace was represented by a child in a manger. And this Christmas season, allow Jesus Christ, yeah, he was the baby in the manger, allow him to change your life as you accept his love for you and you in turn learn to love others. Now, if I could have the worship team come up, that would be just fantastic. Gift of love. I began to think about the gift of love, and I thought, wow, the gift of love, where does it start? Where does it start? I was grappling. You know how many subjects you can talk about when you're talking about love? Pastor Tim gave me this subject a couple months ago. I just began to think, where do you even start? Well, where you start is the source. And you start with where love comes from. Because I read earlier that God doesn't just have love. God is love. He is love. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you have love there. Because Christ has come to live inside you. And he is love. So you can do it. You can do it now. You can love people that seem unlovely. Seem unlovely. Because so many times, people that seem unlovely actually have a lot of great points. And we let this terrible filter that we get ruin it. And then we begin to see only the parts that are difficult. And I have parts about me that aren't good. They aren't good. I'm not kidding. I know it's hard for you to believe, but it's true. It is true. And but I thank God not everybody throws me away and looks at only the bad parts and only the bad things, because every single one of us has sinned. Now, I'd like to ask you all a question, and we're going to sing a song, but I'd like to ask you a question, and I'd like you to bow your heads just for a moment. I won't take very long. Now, I've talked about the gift of love, and I would be amiss here to not ask if there's somebody here who does not know this love. You don't know God personally. You want to know him. You really do, but you don't know how. And maybe your life is somewhat of a mess. You know, most of the time, we don't see Jesus until we need him, until we're at the bottom. Maybe that's where you are today. You need Jesus Christ. And today's the first day that you really realize that. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now, if that's you. I'm not going to call you out, but if that's you today, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? I'm going to assume everybody in this building knows Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, if you're in this place and you feel like, wow, I need to do a better job of loving people. I really do. And I need to do a better job of getting to know God. I want you to raise your hand today. Okay, great, thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to say about half of you raised your hand. And I'm going to say every single person in this room needs to love more. Big time, big time. So we're going to do a song, and I love this song. So you can look up at me. And the song's called Emmanuel. We've done it a few times lately. This is a really great album. It's by Brian and Katie Torwalt. Sometimes you ask where we get our songs. If we didn't write them, then there's lots of great places we get them. Brian and Katie Torwalt is their name. Wonderful songwriters. The album's called, I believe it's called Champion. And we do the song Champion. But this song so struck me. And I would like you all to stand up. And when we get done with the song, I'm going to have Pastor Tim's going to come up and to close our service. And as we sing this song about Emmanuel, God with us, in this Christmas season, I just want you to seek the Lord with me, all right? Just seek Him with me as we sing, and just pour out your heart to Him.